Okay, so a couple weeks ago, the last time we met, hey Donna. The last time we met, we were talking about budgeting. Kind of tight, isn't it? Yeah. And we were talking about budgeting and how that is a biblical principle that we make a budget and live by, that we count the costs in our family. And so today we're going to be talking about a topic that is related to that. But more specifically, we're going to be talking about unity and having unity in our marriage and how money management relates to having unity in marriage. We have a lot of babies here this morning. This is great. Come on in.
Okay.
Wow, packed house.
This is good.
Okay.
Here you tell us about unity in marriage.
That's right. I'm sure that's why you are all here. Very good. Okay, so unity in marriage. So there are a lot of marriage counselors. Many marriage counselors that are out there, and they say, especially, what are you laughing at me for?
That's what I was going for.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, you did it. There are four main areas in your relationship. And you know, when they give counseling to, like, let's say, couples that are about to be married, they say four main areas in your relationship that you need to be unified on. And it's best if you are unified on these things before you ever get married. These things are religion, money, children, and in-laws. Okay, in-laws. It's an important thing to be unified about. But if you are unified on these four areas, they say your statistical chance of having a good, solid, long-lasting, lifetime, successful marriage, your chance goes up dramatically if you agree on these four things. So, concerning money, we're going to get right to the heart of this morning. We're not going to beat around the bush. We're going to get right to it. If you have disunity, is that a Papa-ism? I don't know. When I was typing it in, it didn't underline it, so, you know, like it wasn't a word. But if you have disunity concerning your finances, it can really cause you to have disunity in other aspects of marriage, can it? Is that a true statement? If you are not unified in your finances, can it boil over to other aspects of your marriage? I believe that's absolutely true. Here's some examples. Is there anyone in here that feels like he or she is taking on the financial burden of your household alone? Like, you feel like you are alone, you're taking on the burden, you have all the pressure on you. You know, if things are ever getting tight, or if you ever have to make financial decisions, all that pressure is on you, you know, and you may or may not tell your spouse about it because you feel like, well, you know, you might tell them and then you might talk about it a little bit, or you might not tell them just because you, or him or her, because you feel like it might cause an argument. So you just avoid it altogether, you know. Okay, so there's an example. So then the communication in that part of your life, the communication about finances, struggles. But it also can boil over to other things, you know, because you're not communicating about this, it might boil over to another aspect where your communication might struggle. Okay, so another example, has anyone ever felt any sort of resentment toward your spouse? Now, we're going to talk about a lot today about marriage, relationships, and that kind of thing. I know there are some singles in the class, and so I do feel like these things still apply to you, especially if you are a single who looks to get married someday, then it's definitely better to learn about these, like I said in the email yesterday, learn about this before you get married, that way you don't have to learn the hard way later on. But, and a lot of these things, you know, it's talking about marriage, but also you know, these ideas, these principles of unity are, they are in effect, I guess, for the church as well. So anyway, I think it applies to you as well. So hopefully you can get something out of it too. Okay. Has anyone felt any sort of resentment or anything like that toward your spouse that because he or she spent some money in a way that you don't feel like the money should have been spent for? Like, they came home and they had something that, you know, they had a new something. They had gone out and bought something, and you feel like, you know, the money, you have all these other obligations, you have these responsibilities and these obligations that you have to pay for, and here they are, they're buying this, and you don't agree with them going out and buying this because it has nothing to do with these other responsibilities and obligations that you have. So you have, you feel something against them. You have like a resentment toward them because they went out and got this. Or has anyone in here ever hidden a purchase? Have you ever gone out and bought anything and hidden it from your spouse to avoid that situation that I just described? You know, are these real things? How about this? Have you ever saved money? You've actually decided that, you know, we're going to save some money. And so you actually do it. You save up some money, and then your goals as far as that money are concerned are different. You know, you've saved this amount of money, and one of you's over here, you're like, you know, we really need to keep this money, and it needs to be like an emergency fund. Hey, it needs to be an emergency fund. You know, we need to save this for a rainy day in case something comes up later on, and this is what I think the money should be for. And then the other one's over here like, yeah, well, I've got this car in mind, and I really want to buy this car, and this money's sitting right here, and it's burning a hole in my pocket, you know? And you have different goals as far as what the money is for. You know, so I can kind of see a few of you out there. You're like, you're sitting there, you're stiff. You're like, can't move a muscle. Don't breathe. Don't look at my spouse, because this is me, you know? So, but this pressure, like that first situation, you know, if you're feeling that pressure because you are under the burden of doing the finances by yourself, this lack of communication that we might have, these feelings of resentment that you might have, hiding things, hiding purchases, the disagreement that we might have as far as money goes, you know, none of these things are healthy in a marriage. You know, the disagreement, sometimes you might disagree on what the money should be used for and that kind of thing, but if your norm is disagreement, if you can never agree on things, that's what your norm is, then that's not healthy. And it is destructive for a marriage. It is destructive. All these things are destructive. Not only that, but these things can take a serious toll on your spiritual life as well. It is not possible, and you cannot have a good, solid spiritual connection with your spouse if you have resentment toward them for any financial reason or any other reason. You cannot have a good connection spiritually with your spouse if you have resentment. If you cannot communicate with your spouse about everything, then you cannot have a good spiritual connection with them. Any of these other things that we just mentioned, you can't have good spiritual bond, you can't have unity in that connection if you have these things within your relationship. It's not possible. It's just not possible. These issues, if you have them in your relationship, if you have these things between you, they're called walls. And it's time that if you have them, it's time right now that you learn how to break down these walls. I believe it's time right now that you open up the lines of communication. Then, and only then, will you have unity, and you will share true unity in your relationship with your spouse. Because what does God want for us in our marriage relationships? God wants unity. Ephesians chapter 5, and if you're married, probably just need to have this memorized. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, and the next several verses following, you know, we've brought it up several times, but what does it say? It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to what, ladies? As to the Lord. Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Then it goes down a few verses later. It says to husbands, husbands, love your wives just as what, guys? Just as Christ loved the church and did what? And gave himself for it, for her. Guys, how can you truly love your spouse? Truly. And ladies, how can you truly submit to your husband if you have these things, these walls, these barriers, the strife, the pressures, the resentment, lack of communication? How can you truly love and submit if you have these things? What does God want for the church? God wants unity for the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and a few following says, I therefore, this is Paul of course talking to the church of Ephesus, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul is urging the church in Ephesus, urging them to bear with one another in love and to maintain unity in the Spirit. He was urging them to be one church. One church that's bound by one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He wanted unity. Now certainly if God wants unity in the church, shouldn't we also have unity in our families? I mean, after all, who is it that makes up the church? Who makes up the church? It's the people, right? All of us make up the church. It's individual families coming together, making up the church. Yes, God wants unity in our families and unity in the church. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that this verse here in Ephesians is specifically talking about financial unity in our families. That's not what I'm saying. I am making the point that God does want unity in our families. He wants unity. So, and if we are not working together and we're not living our financial lives in the way that we should, it can rob our relationship of the unity, which is very precious to a marriage. That's the point I was making. So, I'm going to say a phrase here that you've probably heard before. It's kind of an old phrase, been around for a little while. Successfully married couples learn that the U in unity is silent. Have y'all ever heard that? Successfully married couples learn that the U in unity is silent. In other words, drop the selfishness. You can't be selfish. You win at marriage by losing your selfish need to get your way in every battle. Let's say y'all are having a battle, you know, or an argument or something. Call it a battle. And if you feel like you have to win every single time, you got to drop that. You got to drop that. That is a selfish need. And you know, I'm not saying that you have to be a doormat, you know, that you have to allow your spouse to just walk all over you. Like I said before, there has to be that submission. There has to be that love. And if those things are present, then you're not going to feel like you can walk all over your spouse. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that most of the times, you know, most of the things that we're actually battling over, the things that we're actually arguing or, you know, whatever about, those actual things we're arguing about, is the more important thing is the damage that's caused by the battle itself. That's the more destructive thing, not as much what you're arguing about. It's the destruction of what you're doing, the damage that you're doing in the battle itself. Does that make sense? I mean, and that's in most cases. You get happy marriages by giving up selfish desires in order to win together. You get happy marriages by giving up your selfish desires in order to win together. And you win together when you're coming together and you're making common goals that are based on your values and your priorities. You have these common goals. That's how you win together. So let's talk about the budget again. The budget. Now, for those who weren't here last time, I passed out these. You can have one of these if you want.
You go, Paul.
Yeah. Amanda.
Did y'all not get one?
Okay.
I have a couple more. Does everybody have? Y'all have one?
Okay. Okay. Anybody else?
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's good. I had it perfect. Okay, so I think it's really important, the budgeting part of this. I think this is what, you know, that I was leaning toward on this part of your outline. You know, what is it that helps create unity in the family, in your marriage, and why? I think a budget is very important. And like I said last week, I don't feel like you can even be a good steward of God's money unless you do this. I don't feel like you can be a good steward unless you're doing this. Because it really does help in creating unity and your shared goals and priorities in marriage. In this class, I have purposefully, up to this point, not mentioned this particular guy's name, okay? On purpose. But, you know, I feel like it's important to put right here. Dave Ramsey, okay? On his radio program, every Friday, he allows people to call in. And if you have gotten out of debt, if your family has gotten out of debt within the last couple of weeks, he allows you to call in, and he interviews you, and he asks you some questions about how you were able to do this. And then at the end of that little interview, he allows you to scream, "We're debt free!" Have y'all ever heard this? And right after they do that, then they play that little scene from Braveheart where William Wallace, you know, at the very end, he has one word to say, and he says, "Freedom!" You know? And sometimes this whole deal that he does can be very moving, because people can come in, call in, and they have these situations, you know, and they've paid off $120,000 in 4 years, you know. They just really sacrifice, you know, whatever their situation is, you know. And I'm driving down the road going from appointment to appointment. I'm listening to this, and I'm like cheering for them. I'm back there, yeah, go, you know. It's kind of moving sometimes. And, you know, the people in the cars next to me are probably like, "What is this guy doing? I mean, why is he so happy over here? You know, what's he cheering about, that crazy guy?" But, you know, but during the whole reason why I bring this up is because during the whole interviewing process where he asks him, you know, he might ask him, a question that he asks him a lot is, what is it? What is the main thing, the number one thing that you say that that you did that made this possible? What is it? And there's several answers. People will give different answers, but a lot of times, you wouldn't believe how often people say, "You know what? It was the budget. We had never been on the budget before. We finally started doing it after we went through your little program, you know." And not only did it help us in getting out of debt and our financial lives, but it also helped our marriage. You know, he has people calling all the time, "Thank you for what you do, because it has helped us in our marriage." And especially when they're talking about the budget. This thing, if you do this, it will help your unity financially and in other ways in your marriage if you do it together. And when you sit down and you agree on the budget and you're setting goals together, and these goals are flowing from your values and your priorities. A few examples, like let's say you agree together, you're sitting down, you agree to your budget, and you agree to give a certain amount. You agree to give a certain percentage, let's say, of your income, whatever you decide. Then you are agreeing on that value that both of you have. When you agree on how to save for an expense that's coming up, let's say, like me and Sam right now, we're saving for a new car. Or let's say you're saving for a new appliance. You know, one of your appliances goes out, you need to save for a new appliance. You know, whatever it is you're saving for, you're agreeing together, you're agreeing on that goal to save, and you're talking about how you're going to do that. When you agree together that you support a certain cause, let's say there's an organization that both of you really, you just believe in their cause and you want to support that cause. Or there's a missionary, or there's a, you know, just a person that's doing something, or a mission trip, you know, that you want to support because you believe in that cause. You are sharing that together. You're coming together and you have that same goal. Let's say you're investing money. Let's say you're investing for your future. When you come together and you're looking at the budget, you're agreeing. It's bringing you together and you're talking about all these different aspects, all these different values, the priorities that you share in your life, and you're coming together and you're communicating about it and you agree on these things. You know, am I painting a picture here of the things that can really be affected by doing this and setting your priorities and values and actually putting on paper, you know, financially. Let's say your kids. Well, you have kids and they have school needs. You know, Johnny over here, he needs this and this for school. And, you know, or they walk up to you and their pant legs are up to here. Like, I think I need some new pants, you know, because the kids grew. I mean, who knew that would happen, right? But they have needs. And so together you're talking about how you're going to take care of your children and what your children's needs are. Marriages that are unified do this stuff. If you want to have a unified marriage, you do this stuff. When each of you knows what's going on, and each of you knows what your role is in the whole deal, that's when you're in agreement. That's when peace comes in your marriage. That's when unity comes into your marriage. And I think it's, you don't have to give up your individual identities. You know, it's not like when you come and do this, you're giving up your own identity. No, you're adding to that. If you agree on this stuff, then you're forced to agree on your passions. You're forced to agree on your priorities. You're forced to agree on your fears and your dreams, even. And all of this, again, is flowing out of your values. And if you agree on spending, you have been forced to do the hard work, that hard marital work and the hard communication that it takes to meld your values into one. And you're working as one unit. You're not working separately. You're working together. And at this point, if you're doing these things, you have an opportunity here. You have an opportunity, if you're doing this, to reach a level of unity in your family that a lot of couples only dream about. You have that opportunity. In fact, it might be the way for you and your spouse, maybe for the first time. It might be the way for you and your spouse, and maybe for the first time in your marriage, to really become one. You know, if you're budgeting together and you're spending together on paper, then it forces you to take the you out of unity. You're working together for these common goals, or making the you and unity become silent. And once you achieve this type of unity, you get there, you'll never want to turn back. You'll always want to keep that. And I think it's the same here at Echo Hills and within the church. You know, we can have unity within the church. Here at Echo Hills, our main outreach, you know, our main reaching out in the community is reach. And how, you know, we're going into our seventh year of doing this. And how many outreach programs have you ever known that churches start? I guess you call it a program, whatever you want to call it. How many outreaches have you ever known of in a church that by this point, after 7 years, especially a program that's, you know, pretty involved, I guess, have fizzled out by this time? You know, after this amount of time, I think there's probably been a lot of this type of thing that's fizzled out. But I believe that REACH is a successful program or a successful ministry to our community for a couple of reasons. Number one, because God has blessed it. But number two, we have unity within those who are involved in it. We have unity. We all share in the goal and what the mission, what the purpose of the ministry is. You know, we all understand that each of us does, we all have a role in the ministry. We know what our role is. We all know what the mission, what the point of it is, which is to spread Christ to our community, especially to those, the younger people of our community. And we agree on that goal. We all believe that that's worth striving for. And since we all believe in the goal and we all are in agreement on our role, then we find a way to make it happen. Even though our reach budget is tight, you know. But we still find a way and make it happen because we believe in it. And God has blessed it. So, a little side note. Another little side note. This is just my personal belief. Y'all can take it for what it's worth. But it does have to do with unity. In marriage, I believe there is to be one checking account for the family. If you're married, I think you should have one checking account. And I don't know, I've never really talked to you guys about your opinions on that. But, you know, maybe you're thinking, what? You mean I can't have, I can't show my individuality? I can't, what was the word? I can't be independent? Well, not if you're married. Independent means single, you know. Once you get married, you're together. The preacher says when you're married, and now you are... a joint venture? No. And now you are one. And having a single checking account forces you to make financial decisions together and to have heavy communication about all aspects of your finances. At our house, we have one personal checking account. And we have to have communication or else, you know, about our finances or else we're going to bounce checks. You know, and we have to have a written budget and have a game plan together or else because that budget is what dictates where the checks are written.
But sometimes if you have one, I never know where the checkbook is.
Oh, okay.
So
I disagree with you there.
That's what Debbie heard before.
I disagree with you. That does not work in my family. I eventually told my wife to get her own checking account because she kept overdrawing. She kept, it was like, well, Dan's got money in the account, I'm just writing a check, you know, well, that didn't work very long. But now, every family does things differently. My wife pays for certain bills. I pay for certain bills. We've established that. That's our budget, okay? So I expect her to pay those bills. Actually, I go in there and pay them for her, and she reimburses me the money. So you might say that's why we have one checking account, as far as those bills are concerned. But you know, she's got her money in her checking account, and I've got mine. Now, of course, I'm on her checking account, and she's on mine. But, and I understand where you're coming from, but it just didn't work with Minerva and I. The separate checking accounts and us dividing up the bills. So that I know what she pays, she knows what I pay. That works for us. Again, every family is different. And I see where you're coming from, but it just didn't work.
I got you. Did y'all operate on a monthly written budget?
We don't write it down, but like I say, I know that she pays for this bill, this bill, this bill, this bill. She knows that. And so she does that. She pays those bills. And also, she's the one that saves. Okay? She takes a certain amount of her money, has it taken out before she ever spends it. That goes into savings. Then when insurance for the car comes up, we got it. Or something else comes up, we got it. Written? No. Here? Yeah, there's a budget there. I know what I've got to pay. When those bills come first. Then what's left over, you know, in my checking account, I can do with as I wish. So I don't know. We don't have the same checking account, and it's not written on paper, but we discussed it. I never buy anything big I don't talk to my wife about. I think, and when I say big, that might just be $100, a couple hundred dollars. You know, when I bought this Nook at Christmas, I wanted it. I talked to Minerva about it. She said, okay, go buy it. But you know, $200 can be big depending on how much money you got coming in. I certainly wouldn't buy a car or anything like that without my wife knowing about it. So
yeah,
our budget's, it's not written down, but there's a budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, like I say, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, you got to work out what works best for you.
That's
you know?
Rare. It's yeah. rare because what I see in counseling and what I hear from other marriage counselors.
Exactly.
When they come, and no disrespect to you guys, but when I see them come in, it almost is inevitable that they have her stuff and his stuff, and it's always a fight between, that's what I'm not hearing you guys doing, but there's always a fight between, well, I have to get you to get groceries because I've already paid the electric bill, and that means that you, I mean, and it just goes blah, 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 back and forth. And, I mean, there's one couple, I don't do a lot of marriage counseling, but I have a couple couples, and, oh my goodness, to get them, I have yet to be successful to get them to get one check and count, don't do it. Because it's just, you know, I don't know, they will not turn loose of this is my money, and this is my money, and I work for my money, and he works for his money.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, and it causes a huge divide between the two of them. Now, if you can operate it where it works, you know, in a system to where it's not his and mine, or I spend all mine, you have $20, you know, mm-hmm. and that's generally what happens. One person will spend. He and I can't even have two debit cards. We share one because we can't. We've screwed up too many times. We don't even use written checks. We have to literally come together and say, here, you take the debit card to get groceries. Hey, I don't have the card, but you bring it back. You know, so there's never a purchase anymore because we've made so many mistakes and we've made so many stupid, foolish things that we just refuse to do it that way anymore. We've got a lot of other things to work on. But
yeah, well,
we've fixed a couple of them.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, right.
It seems like it comes back to what you were talking about earlier, that selfishness that, you know, where a couple never gets to the point where they're one. They still, and I understand you want to maintain some identity, right? I mean, you're not giving up completely every ounce of who you are, but you have to mold that with your spouse, and you have to become, I mean, that's what Scripture tells us, we become one, and if you never get to that point, then you're never going to move beyond that notion of it's not fair that I work for this money, and you spend it on whatever. You know, it's this notion of equity and fairness that you can never get past if you're still separate, you know, a joint venture or an LLC. We've married into the LLC. No, you're one entity moving forward, and if you can't get past that, you're not going to get past it in money. You're not going to get past it in in-laws, like you talked about. You're not going to get past it in kids. You know, it's going to be a constant. We probably all had a neighbor when we were back in college, or even now, a neighbor that we just didn't get along with for whatever reason. And every time you come home, that stress starts to build up, right? When you're pulling into your neighborhood or going to the dorm, and you know, if you have that in your house, you know, it's never going to work. There's a constant.
It's like
problems.
They're planning to separate.
Yeah,
we're
going to exactly.
keep them separate so that when we do,
that
it'll
is,
be so much easier.
That's what I hear a lot.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
exactly what I hear a lot. And
if
something gets a little weird,
they
go open it.
Yeah, if you can't make a commitment there, you haven't made a commitment.
I've already mentioned an example of the couple I've been out. About the separate bank accounts.
Oh, no, I haven't mentioned that. You can mention
that. Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, there was one couple I knew of that had the whole separate banking account thing, and she had gone out and bought some ice cream, I guess with her money one day, and you would think, oh, just ice cream, you know, it's not a big deal. She came home and he was eating some of her ice cream. You would think, you know, it's not a big deal or whatever, but this actually, I mean, when she was telling us about this, you could see the envy in her face and just the frustration, and I think she actually told him, you're going to need to replace that and go buy me some more ice cream. And it, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny in a way, but it was not funny to her.
It was sad.
It is. And that same couple, they had different banking accounts, and they lived their own lives or whatever. He was sick one day and needed to go to the doctor, but he didn't have enough money. And, of course, he didn't tell her anything. And she eventually found out. He was like, well, I just didn't have enough money to go to the doctor. She's like, well, you could have told me. I would have given you some. But it just,
But don't eat my ice cream.
Yeah, don't eat my ice cream. But it just seemed like it caused more strife than anything.
There's a lot of work that hasn't been done. Mm-hmm. When you get to the point of fighting over vanilla or whatever, I mean, there's a lot of work in the good days. I mean, you have to do a lot of work on good days, right, in your marriage. But if you're doing it on the good days, the bad days won't be as bad and not as many. Mm-hmm. You know, at least as far as the relationship is concerned. You know, we're all going to have problems, but you can't control some of those. Well, you know, on the good days, you're doing that work. You're building whatever it is that it takes.
Mm-hmm. He's never had a bad day yet. So.
No. But it is something very unique to our generation. Think back. How many of our mothers had to work if they were two-parent families? Now, it's commonplace. When my parents grew up, there was not two jobs. There was one income. And now we have made it so there are two to cause us to say, well, that's mine. I worked for it. I don't have that. I've never had that feeling. It's an honor for me to make the money so she can spend it. It is truly exactly what I want. Because that means she's at home, capable and able to do that. We made a lot of sacrifices over time. We could have had a much bigger house. I could have moved out of Nashville and got a lot bigger paycheck. We chose not to on a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons we did was so that she could be there. We would have only one income. And it wouldn't matter if she was working. It's all her money. Every bit of it. Every dime I make is hers.
And yours is together.
See, I don't want it.
Well, but that's
the idea.
Care of you.
Yeah.
That's the idea. If I need to do something, it's there. But I don't want it. Mm-hmm. I have no reason for it.
Besides, you're providing for your family.
My wife and the kids is all that matters. Mm-hmm. I will give up everything. Personally, as long as they are satisfied. I quit playing golf. I quit, you know, all the things I enjoyed doing when I was young, I did them when I was young. Now, unless they want to do it, I don't care to. Because I gave up who I am.
Selfish, right? I mean,
yeah, but that's,
you gave up yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because mm-hmm. if you don't, there's always going to be strife. There's always the I want to do something. Okay, fine. We do something. Mm-hmm.
You and Judy have a lot of things in common.
We have a lot of not in common.
Well, but I mean, you look for how much y'all put into church and how much y'all put into
that. That hasn't always been the case. No, I mean, it's
coming together. Yeah. I agree. We used to be as different.
But that's a maturity thing.
Yeah, it comes
together. If Herb and I hit 50 years, we must like each other.
Or you just don't know how to do anything else anymore.
No, I think on both sides we give up.
Absolutely.
She watches over me like a mother hen a lot of times. But yet I want her to be happy, and I want her to do the things that she wants to do. And if she doesn't have the money, all she's got to do is ask.
And
I know to her.
And that's the difference. She knows she can't.
Yeah, I mean, it's no problem. She might say, well, I'm spending all my money. And I say, okay, what do you need? That's fine with me. I think you have to build that relationship as far as money goes. Like I say, we do things jointly. Now, we have separate check accounts. That's true. But that just seems to work for me. I'm not telling everybody to do that. The other one might work just fine. For us, it worked fine. You know, we don't have that problem. And the only debt we have right now is the house. That's it. Well, we got to pay the electric, the water, and all that kind of stuff. But
only if you use them.
Only if you use them. Well, unfortunately, we use them. Like I said, I got a money pit in the backyard. We put a lot in that. But, you know, that was a maturing thing. We had to work over the years to get that. He sounded like that didn't just come to him either. You know. But I think another thing is, and we haven't even touched on this, is we went into marriage with a different idea. There was no such thing as divorce.
Wasn't an option.
No, that's not an option. So you work things out. You just have to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love my wife. We do things together. We went out yesterday. She wanted to go here and here, and she said, "You're going to go with me?" And I said, "Okay." So we went. And then when we got through, I thought, she likes to ride around and look. We did that for an hour or two. We just rode through neighborhoods and looked and went and had something to eat together. And, you know, she said, "I really enjoy this." Well, I enjoy it. I like to be with her, you know, stuff like that. But I think it's a maturing thing. You have to work at it, and you have to have the same goals, and you got to understand that, you know, kids nowadays, they just don't get married. You know, because their idea is, well, I just live with him or her, and if I get tired of it, I just walk away. Yeah. Well, our generation didn't think that way, you know. But my wife and I went through some, I'm going to tell you, it's a really, really, really rough spot. And we just had to work together. There was no way other than to do it. I just did it a different way than you. I don't know. And I think you got some great points, because I think these young couples need to be thinking about these things and working towards the same goals. Minerva and I work for the same goals, even though it might not be written down. If we're going to do something, it's going to be together. We're going to sit down and talk about it. So, anyway.
I think it's important for young couples, but also, I mean, I think it's important at any stage. You know, whether you're in your 20s like we are, or 50s or whatever.
We did. We talked about it.
Say what?
Last 2 weeks ago. When
yes.
We did talk about it. And it all came down in the end. And in the end, we look at the budget together. And I go, "Oh, it's terrible." And he goes, "No, it's good." The same thing to two people. It's completely different. Amazing. He has such a great attitude.
Uh-huh.
How much the Lord blessed us. And I was like,
"Oh,
look at this and this and that."
I'm like, "Oh." This was one of the bad days.
Matt, tell me your story.
I did it too, but I turned to there's no one to blame. That's the best being married.
You can blame somebody, right?
There's no one to blame.
So you did a budget too.
Yeah, I did. I turned off my television.
Yeah, his DirecTV shut off.
It was too much of my butt.
Well, you know, whatever.
I think a big thing is, like, if you go back to a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how, like, you know, Adam had mentioned about the band. If somebody hits the band, then you're like, "God, I don't know why you wanted your property to be damaged," but, you know? It's just it's a whole outlook, and if you look at it as this is God's money, as it should be, like when he wrote my pencil, then you realize, then you know the arguing of that's mine, and you know I worked hard for this. Then you realize you worked hard for the Lord, and that he gave you the money, that you know to be good stewards of it, and you know he didn't do it just to say, "Okay, this is yours, Jared." He said, "This is you know ours," and that you know. We need to take care of others with it, and then ourselves, you know, all at the same time, with whatever he gives me, because he doesn't just bless me and then, you know, expect me to turn around and not bless anybody else with it either. So I think being a good steward and being able to realize whose it is makes all the difference, because otherwise, then you're going to have the separate accounts, and as far as the desiring of the separate accounts, so you can spend what you want on it, and a bad steward, you know. So yeah. I think a big, you know, common goal would be is to be unified in Christ. So I mean, I'm not going to put all your points together, but that's really what it is. It's, when you take the you out, then it's just y'all. There's no I in team. Now there is a me, but.
Well, I really wish we had more time. Yeah, there was actually a couple things on this budget form that I wanted to get to the last time, and I want to get to today, but, you know, we'll just have to get some other time, so.
Best thing I learned a long time ago was,
the best asset he ever gave me was her. So therefore, if I put her at the top of the list, then God gave me her. Because I know what I would be without her. And if you look at it that way, all the rest of this stuff just kind of falls in place. Because Jimmy was saying, it worked out because he understood God gave him Minerva. Now the rest of this stuff is just little things that really are insignificant in the overall scheme of things. If you focus on, this is the most important. And God will bless us if we deal with it properly. Now, he may not bless us abundantly as much some years as he has others, but he's going to bless us. It might be the test of how well can you handle this diversity. You're having an adverse situation right now. I read Job quite often because he had everything. And then he did. And that didn't affect his relationship to God or his wife. Even when she told him, curse God and die. All I had.
Thank you everybody for comments. So, yep. I guess we'll see you next week. I guess we'll see you in about 5 minutes. Are you congested too? Are you and Dave both?
Yeah, but it's okay for him. But he's
base.
Yeah, you got the.
Yeah, I need to do that. I need to do that. Song time.
It does?
How you doing this morning?
Where do you think we've been using all of your
Hi, Mary.
I think I got it. Just need this.
He always brings.